Amen. Let's give the hand clap to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Praise God. I want to thank Pastor and Sister Roberts for allowing us in the church here, for allowing us to be here tonight. It's always a privilege, and tonight we get a special blessing. We get to reconnect with some folks. We're originally from the island of Jamaica, same church. It's Pastor and Sister, Brother and Sister Shea. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So we thank God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are missionaries to East Africa. Kenya and Sudan, South Sudan in particular. And we have a brief presentation, which I'll just kind of let you have a look at, and you'll get an idea of what's been happening. It's by no means comprehensive. It's just kind of an overview. Kenya is a nationalized work, so it's a very mature work, and we thank God for what the Lord has done there. The first missionaries to go to Kenya was Brother and Sister Harris, in 1972, and we have seen the church grow and become a mature work. Now they have their own national superintendent and a national board, and they have some great men and women of God that's doing a tremendous work there. Hallelujah. We are, because of that, we are somewhat transitioning. My wife and I, we're overseeing the Bible school still in Kenya, but we are trying to transition as much as possible to focus on the work of God in South Sudan. South Sudan, in particular, Sudan was divided in 2011, July 2011, and so the work there is a new work. We are the first and only appointed missionaries to that country, so it's kind of the opposite situation. It is an infant work, and we just registered the church by the grace of God in 2011. So we now have a registered church, United Pentecostal Church in South Sudan. Praise God. Amen. So as you see this little video presentation, it goes by pretty quickly. So you'll kind of get a picture of what's happening. Amen. God bless you. Praise God as we see this.
In 2004, the Groves family were appointed missionaries to the countries of Kenya and Sudan, and in 2006, they began deputation. It was in January of 2009 that the Groves family arrived in Nairobi, Kenya. The population of Kenya, a country situated in East Africa, is over 43 million. Nairobi, the capital city, with a population of over 3 million, is now considered a major hub of East Africa. Kenya is also known worldwide for its abundant wildlife, year-round mild tropical climate, and the beautiful Great Rift Valley. The United Pentecostal Church of Kenya was established in 1972, and there are now over 400 churches with over 400 pastors and licensed ministers and over 100,000 constituents. During the last 4 years, the Groves have been primarily involved in overseeing and teaching in the Bible school, training pastors and leaders, establishing new preaching points in churches, and conducting national crusades. Give thanks for the support and prayers of all our precious partners, which has enabled us to accomplish many things. Over the last 4 years, we traveled all across the country of Kenya, as well as making several trips into South Sudan. During this time, we have personally seen literally hundreds of souls filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and healed by the power of God, including several pastors and leaders from other religious groups. Crossing over the northern border of Kenya, you would find yourself in what used to be known as Sudan, Land of the Blacks, or ancient Kush. It is the largest country in Africa. Due to the war, missionaries were not permitted to enter the country. However, in 2005, a year after the Groves were appointed, it was announced that a peace treaty had been signed, through which God opened the door into the country. On July 9, 2011, the Republic of South Sudan gained independence and a new country was born. The country's population is over 8 million and growing rapidly as many refugees return home. The capital city is called Juba. The country is rapidly being rebuilt now that the war has ended. With South Sudan's vast oil reserves, it is poised to become one of Africa's most vibrant economies. By God's grace, after several trips to the country, about a month later, on August 18, 2011, the United Pentecostal Church of South Sudan was registered in the newest country in the world. Given the UPC of South Sudan is an infant church, there is a real urgency in us getting back to the field to help nurture this young church. There is also a great need to establish a Bible school to train pastors and workers in order to effectively evangelize and plant new churches throughout the country. This presents a great opportunity for all who desire to invest in the kingdom of God in East Africa. You can do so in two simple ways. Number one, becoming a partner in missions, or PIM. Number two, becoming a project partner by making a one-time pledge to our project fund. Will you consider investing some of your treasure in heaven for the people of South Sudan and Kenya? Thank you for the opportunity of sharing with you as we lay up our treasures in heaven. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just going to ask my wife just to stand and I just greet the church. I don't know if she wants to say a praise, whatever. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And as my wife said a while ago, we sometimes, one of the things in deputizing that we do get the opportunity to do is to see a a broader picture of the church. Praise God. In particular in North America. And I remember the first time we deputized, I came away from that time of travel. We traveled for over 2.5 years. And that time our children were with us. So it was quite an experience for all of us the first time doing that. But I remember coming away with a new understanding and perspective of what the scripture talks about when it talks about the church. Amen? Praise God. Because sometimes we think about the church, and rightly so, in our own particular situation. Amen? But I want us to remember that God has a great, wonderful church. Hallelujah. Amen. And the beauty of this is that the way the Lord has designed it is that this work, to be able to accomplish the will of God, we have to work together. Praise God. And so we thank God for the church. Right now we have partners here in North America, even in the island of Jamaica. We have partners who are supporting the work of God in East Africa. And really, you will only know, as my wife said, when we get up there and the Lord begins to show us what took place as a result of the part each of us played. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Because in truth and in fact, we could not go, and other missionaries could not go to the different areas of the world had it not been for the willingness of God's people to support those who go. Praise God. So this is a joint effort. Amen. Praise God. It just could not work any other way. God designed it that way. And I thank God for the church. I often say that I fully understand when Jesus said, my family are those that do the will of my Father. Amen. My family, I know, is the church. Amen. Praise God. The family of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right now, we're in Ohio, and we're staying at a really nice location, very, very serene, quiet area. And that could only happen because of the church. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You folks have invited us to come in to worship with you. And again, this is because we're family. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we thank God for the church. We thank God for my wife and I, when we first came to the knowledge of this truth, we were not exposed to Pentecost. In fact, we did not know what Pentecost was. Praise God. But we were reading the scriptures, and I remember how the Lord brought this about, is that we were actually reading the book of Acts. And we said we want to find the people that we're reading about in this book. Hallelujah. And we decided we're going to visit every church in our city until we found the people that we read about in the book of Acts. Praise God. Now, of course, we had no clue what we were doing. But thank God, God was directing things. And it was shortly thereafter that it was Brother Val Richards, praise God, who invited a good friend of ours who was searching with us. One of my best friends grew up with him. He was studying medicine at the time. And he invited him to the church in Jamaica on Walman Street. And he came back. He did not have time to get in touch with us that initial time, but he came back to us and said, you have to visit this church. He literally what he said, there is fire in this church. Praise God. And the second thing that we were seeking also, we wanted to be baptized. But again, we said we wanted to do it according to the Bible. We did not know at that time of baptism in Jesus' name. But again, there is a God in heaven who will direct us. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. And we proved that because the Lord, we could have been baptized elsewhere. In fact, I went to the gentleman who married us, a relative of ours who's a minister, and I asked him to baptize us because we had been reading the scripture and we became convinced that we need to be baptized. That gentleman said to me, he said, that's fine, but in order to do that, we'd have to go through several weeks of class. I don't remember exactly how many of baptismal classes. Now, we had said we're only going to do what we see in the scripture. When he said that, I said to myself, I have never seen anything about baptismal classes. So I said to this gentleman, I said, sir, I would rather do it the way the Bible says it was done. And this is what he said to me. He said, Patrick, he's an uncle of mine. And he said to me, Patrick, I respect and I understand what you're saying. But he said, our church has done this hundreds of years. It's an old, very old church, old organization. He said, we have done this literally for hundreds of years this way. And he said, we're not going to change our tradition for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. That was my signal to look elsewhere. Praise God. And thank God the next church we ended up in was the United Pentecostal Church in our city. Praise God. And I remember the first evening we went into that church, my wife and I stepped into that church, and to be quite honest, our first impression was not that positive, because we went in and we saw people worshiping in a way we have never seen people. Brother and Sister Shea, they know exactly what I'm talking about. The church is on a street called Wildman Street. We found out it's not just the name of the street, but they actually call it the Wildman Street Church, because the people there are really, really wild when they get to worshiping. Praise God. When we walked into all of this stuff that was going on, never encountered Pentecost. People speaking in tongues, running, jumping, dancing, clapping, you know, doing everything. Praise God. And my wife and I looked at each other, I remember, and we did not communicate, but we were saying the same thing. These people are completely crazy. Amen. And we were looking at the nearest exit. We made the mistake of going up on the balcony. They had a balcony at the back. You know, we wanted to stay kind of, you know, just kind of stay out of, where everything was going on. But what we didn't realize, they keep the really wild people up on the balcony. Praise God. Amen. We found out later to our surprise. But thank God, that night, after the preaching of the word, the same friend of ours came and said, Patrick, if you want to be baptized, you knew that we had been seeking. He said, you can go and talk to them. And we went and talked to somebody. We told them the same thing. We wanted to be baptized. We read the scripture, wanted to do it according to scripture. And they said, certainly, we will do that. And we were baptized in Jesus' name that very first night. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. To be quite honest, again, we were completely ignorant of everything that was happening. The music, to be quite honest, was playing so loudly, we didn't even hear what they were saying. Praise God. So the Lord kind of slipped that one by us. Amen. We found out later on we were baptized in Jesus' name. And by that, thank God, we got the revelation, understanding that that's the correct way to be baptized. Praise God. And then we heard about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which we had, again, where we're coming from, we were told that no longer happens. That finished with the book of Acts. Well, apparently nobody told the Pentecostal people about that, because they were still having that experience. And they told us about it at first, to be quite honest. Again, I in particular, I did not necessarily like, because in people telling us that we needed to have this experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, what we interpreted, or I interpreted in particular, was that they were kind of causing us to question our experience prior to this. And we had an experience with God. But I realized later on that they were not questioning what we had experienced, but they were simply saying, that is not all that God has for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, God has, He wants us to have all that He has for us. Praise God. And if you're here tonight and you have never received, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, can I encourage you, just say, God, I want all that you have for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And to be quite honest, that is just the beginning. Amen. It wasn't a few nights after they had it was a combined crusade of a number of Pentecostal churches, including the church we attended. And they came together to have these evangelistic services. They were preaching about the coming of the Lord. One night, my wife, I went to talk to the pastor to kind of find out for, you know, just settle this matter. of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Do I need to have this experience? And I wanted to see it for myself in the scriptures. So I went to talk to the pastor, Pastor Samuel Stewart. My wife, she assumed I was going to the altar, but I was going behind the altar. My wife stopped in the altar. She had the same questions I had, but she knelt down. She told me after, she knelt in the altar, and she said, "Lord, I don't understand about the Holy Ghost. I don't understand about the speaking in tongues that people are telling me, but I do know something. I do know that you love me. I love you, and when you come back, you're not leaving me here." Hallelujah. I kind of just put it that way to the Lord. And then she said, "If this Holy Ghost that I'm hearing about, this experience is what I need to take me to heaven, give it to me." Praise God. She said that, and she called on the name of the Lord about three times. The next time she went to say Jesus, she could not speak in English. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's where, right after that, I had finished, I had spoken to Pastor, and during Pastor, I remember, did not even say much to me. He was just giving me some scriptures to read. I had been reading those scriptures so much, I could literally rehearse them. But while he was giving me the scriptures, I was actually waiting to give him, to tell him, basically to argue with him. Praise God, to show him my viewpoint. But while he was giving me the scriptures, I was rehearsing those scriptures. And I remember at some point, it was like something happened. And I was rehearsing this one scripture, this one particular scripture that he read out, and he was writing down. And it's like all of a sudden, it became so clear that I needed to have this experience. Praise God. It was for every believer. Amen. And so when he was done, I remember I just said, "Pastor, will you just pray for me?" And he said, "Sure." And he laid his hand, "Pray for me." And I went around to tell my wife that we needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. When I walked around, I saw her walking away from the altar. There's a sister walking with her. I think they were going to write something, but I didn't know what was happening. But all I know is when she was passing by me, she was looking at me, and she looked different. And I said, she said to me, "Patrick, it's real. It's real." She just kept saying that. Praise God. And again, we didn't have to communicate. I knew she had just received what I just got the revelation of. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I always say that God knows that I can be stubborn sometimes. So I guess he made sure to fill my wife with the Holy Ghost so I would have to sleep with this. I'd have to wake up with it. Praise God. I could not get away from it. Praise God. And thank God. Hallelujah. The following night, In fact, the morning I had to go pick up my aunt to take her to work. I was so convinced of this. I didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I was so convinced of this. Everybody I met that day, I was telling them, "You need the Holy Ghost." Praise God. So I told my aunt the whole way from her home to her office. I said, "Aunt Jenny, you need the Holy Ghost." And I'm giving her scriptures. I'm preaching about what I don't have. Praise God. Didn't know what I was doing, but She, when I dropped her off, she said, "Okay, Patrick, pick me up for service." I didn't know this, but she, after listening to me, called her prayer partner, her best friend, who was a staunch Catholic lady, and she called her and said, "You know, my nephew has been telling me about this experience, and I think we need to go see what he's talking about." And her friend said, "Yes, I'll go with you folks." And then I went back to my aunt's home, spoke to her daughter, who is a nurse in the university there. And I told her, I said, "Andrea, you need the Holy Ghost." And again, I gave her the whole, and she kind of just, I guess, out of frustration said, "Patrick, okay, you know, just, I'll come with you. I'll see what you're talking about." Praise God. So they all came that evening. Praise God. We all went to the service. God filled every one of them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. And finally, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I was glad for that. 2 weeks after we were filled with the Holy Ghost, we're in a mission service in our church. And that's where God called us and told us that we would be preaching this gospel. Now, we were new converts, so we had no clue again. But everything was so new. But, you know, it's interesting. It took over 20 years for us to get to Africa. After that initial, God spoke to us 2 weeks after we were saved, but it took over 20 years. Praise God. But I always told people, even though it took us 20 years to get to Africa, which is where he spoke to us about, God did not waste any time because we got involved immediately. Praise God. Hallelujah. There were some precious people who just took us under their wing, mentored us. Brother Simpson was one of those. Brother Kelly, different ministers. They just somehow they just decided that they're going to take these new converts. And you know, that has made an impact on our lives, because right now in South Sudan, we see some things happening that we can relate to simply because of our experience. Amen. As I said, South Sudan is a new work, brand new work. The last time we deputized, about 5 years ago, we had just registered the church. We are rejoicing in that fact, because prior to that, the country was closed to missionaries. Amen. I remember when we were appointed, it was kind of a bittersweet situation, because you rejoice that you're appointed finally. You go through a long process and you're appointed, but then the country that you're appointed to is closed to missionaries. So you can't go to where God has called you. But you know what the Lord did? 1 year after we were appointed, he brought about a peace treaty between the fighting forces in the country. For over 25 years, they were at war. Nobody thought it would ever end. But after 1 year after we were appointed, God brought about a peace treaty. He is still the Prince of Peace. Praise God. And not only did he do that, so as soon as we got to Africa, we were able to start going in and being able to be able to try and reach people, teach and minister to people. Praise God. And it wasn't 1 month after the country gained, the South gained independence. This is how we put it. Prior to this, Sudan was under Muslim rule, and that's one of the reasons why missionaries were not allowed to go in. But you know what God did? God literally created a new country by dividing the country. He created a new country called South Sudan so that we could be able to go in and preach the gospel to these people. That's how far God will go to reach a soul. He will create something out of nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's why South Sudan is, as you heard, is the newest country in the world. And we thank God. But just to illustrate quickly to you what God has been doing. Since when we came back, as I said, last time, about 5 years ago, we had two churches. Because we had just registered the church. And we came back and we were reporting to our partners that God had opened the door. And we now had a registered church. We could freely minister throughout the country because of this. But today, just before we left East Africa, we now have, as you saw, we have over 48 churches. Praise God, in just that short piece of time. Hallelujah. In 2012, we had 200 constituents in the entire church. Today, we have over 20,000 constituents in South Sudan. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this has been happening primarily in the north. We have a few churches up in the south, rather. In the north, which is still referred to as Sudan, it has not been the same, because the moment the south gained independence, the north declared, the government in the north declared that the entire north was under what's called Sharia law, which is Muslim law. Under Muslim law, it is illegal to proselytize. If you are caught trying to convert a Muslim, it's a crime punishable by death. If a Muslim converts, it's even more serious. Amen. Their entire family can be wiped out. Praise God. So we were under a lot of restrictions. So we have churches there, but we have to be much more careful. Well, you may have, if you've been listening to the news recently, you may have heard that there are some things presently right now just started happening in the north, where people are rising up. Pastor mentioned that we're about in, tomorrow, July 4th, we're going to be celebrating in the U.S. The freedom that we have. Well, people in the north are suddenly, the civilians, have risen up, and they're saying they want freedom. Hallelujah. Because they have been under this repressive government for many. In fact, nobody thought thought that, you know, they could ever do it, because they had tried in the past, and the government used the military and everything to just suppress it. Praise God, which is what they do, kill a lot of people, put people in jail, that sort of thing. But people have risen up, and right now, unfortunately, a number of people just a week ago, about 100 people were killed because they just attacked these people. They were protesting peacefully. Praise God. But right now, there is something happening in Sudan, which I believe God is opening the door to the north, because before, prior to my wife and I coming here, we were just about to fly into Sudan to actually work on registering the church there also. And we're believing that when we, by the time we get back to Africa, Lord willing, we'll be able to go in and we'll be able to register the church there, and we'll be able to see God move and win many, many souls. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what, saints of God, because of what we see happening in South Sudan, we just believe that God is saying it's time. Amen. You know, we waited a long time for this to happen. Praise God, to even get to the country. But God, it's not only enough for us to know the will of God, but I found it's very important to know God's timing. Amen? If you read the Word of God, you will see that it's not just to know the will of God, but there's a timing is very important. Amen? Moses, from his birth, was called to as a deliverer for the children of Israel. But there was a time for that to happen. And Moses even attempted one time to do something, to intervene. And he had to literally run from Egypt. And think about it. He knew that that's what God called him to do, to help, to deliver these people. But he literally had to be running away from Egypt. You know what? It was not the right time. But when the time came, hallelujah, amen. And God, you know what? The scripture says, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he told the story about this little widow that had a need, and she just was persistent with this judge who didn't care about God or men. And the judge finally said, you know what, I'm going to give this widow everything. He didn't respond for quite a while, but then he said, you know what, lest this widow weary me, I'm going to give her everything she needs so that she can leave me alone. And then Jesus said, he said, listen to what that judge said. He said, how much more will God grant his children, hallelujah, what they need? Though he bear long with them, he said, yet he will answer them quickly. Hallelujah. You know what I interpret that and we interpret that? God may take a while to do what he's going to do in our estimation. But when he's ready to do it, it's going to happen quickly. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it's not that God is struggling to do what you and I want him to do. It's just that he's waiting on the right time. And God is never late. Hallelujah. He's always on time. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the fullness of time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That son was born of a woman. And we know what that meant. Praise God. Jesus came at the right time. And because of what he was done in 3.5 years, we now have liberty. We have salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to share something from the Word of God tonight, just briefly with you. Praise God. That we have found is a principle that the Lord has demonstrated to us that is applicable in not only in South Sudan, but we believe in these last days. Jesus said, the field is the world. Praise God. That's why what Pastor and Sister Roberts and you folks are doing here is exactly what we're doing overseas. Amen? Again, God has one church. Amen? And there is only one field. The world is the field. You just happen to be in another part of the field. Praise God. Hallelujah. When the Lord moved Brother and Sister Shea here, he just moved them to another part of the field. And God is the one that's orchestrating this. We just have to understand that why we're here. And I remember when I was leaving Jamaica, our Pastor Simon Stewart, came to visit with us and pray with us. And I remember him making this statement to my wife and I. He said, Brother, Sister Groves, remember, Wherever you go, you are in the field. Praise God. And we took those words very seriously. Respect that man highly. And you know what? Wherever the Lord has placed us, even while we deputize, we try to remember we're in the field. Amen? Hallelujah. Not because we're not in East Africa or Jamaica or wherever, we are in the field. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9, I want to read verse 35. It says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Praise God. This is what Jesus did and what Jesus does even now. Praise God. Amen. He went about, the Bible says, all the cities and the villages, the developed areas, the cities and the villages, which we are very acquainted with. In North America, we may term it differently, but we know these terms are still very applicable in East Africa. Praise God. Meaning that he went to everybody. Praise God. Some people, they live in what's called villages. But Jesus does not neglect the people in the villages and just focus on the big cities. Praise God. But he goes to everybody. Amen. The Bible says he was teaching in their synagogues, which basically was their meeting places. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Which is the message of salvation. Amen. He was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Church, we are the body of Christ. We ought to be doing what Jesus did. Because Jesus has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why he has placed his people strategically in different locations. Praise God. But listen to what the scripture says. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. When Jesus saw these multitudes of people, his heart was moved toward them. Praise God. Because they fainted and were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. I read that particular phrase and thought about what that means. And I think all of us here can basically relate. A sheep without a shepherd have no sustenance because a shepherd feeds the sheep. Sheep do not have it within themselves to find their own food, it appears. Praise God. Now we live, you saw some of those animals in East Africa. Kenya in particular is blessed with abundance of wildlife. Those pictures we took ourselves. You know, and sometimes it's one thing to see lions or these predators behind bars. It's another thing just to drive right up to them and see them lying down beside you. Praise God. And we kind of have come to respect some of these. You know, lions, they are the king of the jungle and they know it. And that's why you coming near them is not a problem to them. Because they know who is in charge. If you're out in their natural habitat, you are now you're not the one that's kind of you're low on the food chain, put it that way. Praise God. And we've seen this. We've actually seen some of these animals hunt. Praise God. But why I said that is because lions, if they get hungry, they know where they can find food. They don't need a shepherd to help them. Praise God. Amen. They don't need anybody. Amen. Praise God. In fact, sometimes when you go out on in these places, every morning you see these huge animals half devoured or completely devoured, and it's lions and these other animals that have just been having a good meal. And that's why they recommend that you go out in the middle of the day when they're basically well fed and they're just resting. Praise God. That's what we do. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't want to meet them early in the morning or at night, because that's when they eat. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. But sheep, another story. Sheep need a shepherd to be fed. Amen. Hallelujah. Sheep without a shepherd have no direction, because sheep need a shepherd to guide them. They don't have an inbuilt compass, in other words. Amen? They're lost without a shepherd. Praise God. Sheep without a shepherd have no protection. They don't have a defensive mechanism. Praise God. The shepherd provides their protection. So think about that. Amen. So therefore, this is just simply, when Jesus used this term, he's just simply saying these people are in trouble. Amen. You know what? That tells us that's why we need this man of God. Because we are the sheep of God's pasture. We need to understand it. Amen. God has given us pastors to feed us, to give us direction, and to protect us, among other things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why we need, everybody needs to have a man of God like you do. Can we thank God for that? Hallelujah. I'm sorry for these people who feel like, you know, I just need the Bible and the Holy Ghost and I'm on my way. I'm sorry. You do need the Bible and you do need the Holy Ghost, but you need a pastor. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's going to become evident pretty quickly. Amen. But you know what that tells us? Everybody outside these doors needs a pastor like you do. Because if they don't have what you have, they are sheep without a shepherd. It means they're dying spiritually. They're without direction in life. And they have no protection against the things that want to destroy them. Praise God. That's a good reason to invite people that you meet out there. They could be driving the nicest car, living in the nicest homes. Praise God, had the biggest bank account. But if they do not have what you have in a pastor, they're sheep without a shepherd. Amen. They are in trouble. Praise God. But so he says this, and then listen, he's thinking this. And then the Bible says he turns to his disciples, the 12 disciples who was following him to this point. The Bible says he said to them, the harvest truly is plenteous. Praise God. You say that to any farmer and the farmer will get excited immediately because that's what every farmer is looking for, a great harvest. But you add the next few words and things change drastically. He said, but the laborers are few. And this is simply because if you tell a farmer there's a great harvest, but there's not enough laborers, he'll immediately recognize that this great harvest can easily be lost because there's no laborers. I want you to think about what Jesus said here. There is a great harvest, but the problem is with the laborers. Somebody said, that's me. Turn to somebody near to you and say, that's you. Praise God. So the problem is not with the harvest. Praise God. How many people have ever prayed for souls? And I think I've done that many times. I'll continue to pray for souls. Lord willing, I'll continue to pray for souls. But do you notice something here? Jesus did not tell them to pray for the harvest. Because there's no problem. There is a great harvest. You don't have to pray for the harvest. There is a great harvest. I've not been in your city more than maybe a couple hours now, but you know what? I have no doubt. Anybody notice a shortage of sinners recently in this area? I don't think so. Praise God. You know what you're saying? There is a great harvest out there. Hallelujah. That's what that is evident of. There is a great harvest. But think about it, brethren. Jesus said the problem is with the laborers. Look what he does next. I heard it mentioned even earlier that we're not going to do what we normally do, which is to take prayer requests. Jesus turns and he gives a prayer request. I want you to notice this. He doesn't do this very often. Verse 38. He turns to the disciples after pointing out this situation. And he said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Praise God. Notice what he tells them. He said, you pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. So he does not tell them to pray for the harvest. He tells them to pray for the problem with the situation, which is for laborers. Amen. He gives them a prayer request. Jesus normally answers prayer. He doesn't give prayer requests, but he did give one here. Amen. Chapter 10, which is a continuation, you know, we didn't have chapters at one time before the translators. So the story continues. Notice what happens next. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Everybody say power. Against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. What's Jesus doing here? He's now equipping his disciples. Praise God. For something. He's giving them power or authority to do what he has been doing. Praise God. I want you to understand something. We cannot do the work of God through human ability. Praise God. Or simply human understanding or strength. We need the power of God because we are doing the work of God. Hallelujah. This body that we're a part of is a supernatural body. Praise God, it's not a natural body. It's a supernatural. You just have to read about Paul talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Those are supernatural gifts. And Paul says these are, he likens it to a human body. But he's not talking about a natural. He's talking about a supernatural body, the body of Jesus Christ. Praise God, everything about it is supernatural. Amen? It's powerful. And the Bible says, we are members of that body. Amen? Look at verse 5. He lists off the 12 disciples who were following up to this point. And then the Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent forth. Everybody says, send forth. Where did he send them? He sent them into the harvest. Because remember the prayer request. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. You know what he does here? He transitions them from being followers to becoming laborers. We still have that situation today. There's a lot of people following Jesus. Nothing wrong. In fact, Jesus is the only one worth following. Praise God. Why do we follow him? Because he's a good God. He takes care of everything concerning us. Amen. Hallelujah. So we follow him. But can I say to you, saints of God, church, it's not just about following Jesus. Praise God. Because there is a great harvest. And there, because of the fact there's a great harvest, there's a need for laborers. So Jesus, all of a sudden, these disciples were simply following Jesus, just enjoying the show, so to speak. Enjoying the blessings, just like we do. But guess what? Jesus said, now folks, after he had them pray, he answered the prayer. And he said, now it's time for you to get involved. He said, I'm now going to give you power, and you're going to go forth into the harvest field. Look what he tells them. It says, verse 7, as you go preach, everybody say preach. They'd never done that before. Praise God. And he's telling them to go preach. Hallelujah. Saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Everybody say heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Say cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. They had never done any of this before. But he's now telling them to go do it. Why? Because that's what Jesus does. What, saints of God, what he was doing is giving them power to do everything that he was doing. You know why? Because now they're not just following, they're laboring. And one thing God is not going to do, he's not going to give you a job and not equip you to do the job. You know, we live in a world now today, we know something called power tools. How many people have ever used power tools? Praise God. You know, and I heard recently an elder said, why would you want to use a handsaw if God gave you a power saw? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? God has given us some power tools to do the work of God. Amen. He said, listen to this. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. He is telling them, I have equipped you to go into the harvest, to do the work of God. Hallelujah. Saints of God, this is the reason and what the Lord showed my wife and I that we have seen the growth that we have seen in South Sudan in the short period of time. You know, when we tell people about what's been happening, even in the last 3 months of 2018, we've just instituted where we're getting, you know, fairly regular reports. Not everybody's, we're not 100% yet. But the reports that we have been receiving the last 3 months of 2018, we were baptizing between an average of between 500 to 700 people in Jesus' name every month. Praise God. Hallelujah. You saw toward the end of this where we had several churches now. We have over 20 churches that they meet under huge trees. The reason for that is that we don't have buildings to put these people in. Praise God. Because God is helping us to reach so many people. Praise God. What we tell them, don't worry about the building, because when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for people. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we tell people? Amen. So don't worry about the building. If we can find shelter for them, especially the rainy season, we'll do that. But you know what? Thank God, they don't even really, that's not really even stopping them, because people are still coming together. And guess what? When they gather under these huge trees, hundreds of people, God is filling people with the Holy Ghost under the trees. He's healing the sick under the trees. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's doing everything he would do in the building under the trees. Kind of reminds me, because in Jamaica, they started what they call sidewalk Sunday schools. And again, we learn from that God will, wherever you take this gospel, God will move in the same way. Praise God, because he does not change. Hallelujah. You know what? This is the reason the Lord showed us why what we see happening. If it was up to my wife and I alone to be doing all of what we're doing, we would never see the growth that we're seeing in South Sudan. What God is doing, he's raising up laborers, young converts. Praise God. That God is using, hallelujah, to do the work of God. He's empowering them. I have pictures, I have videos of people God has healed. Hallelujah. He has, one lady came to church. She was blind completely. Hallelujah. She came, received the message, baptized Jesus, and filled with the Holy Ghost. They prayed for her. God healed her completely. She just started her own little farm. Praise God. Because she now can see. Amen. One man, he has lame for 10 years. Came to church. Again, received the message. Was baptized. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He was prayed for. God healed him completely. I have a video of him running. Praise God. He's not just walking. He's running. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I have one man, they sent me a picture just recently. He's been a leper for quite a long time. Don't know exactly how long, but he came to the church. He actually did not come into the church. He just came because he heard the church, you know, had been established. And he came and asked the church if they would pray for him. Went away. Praise God. You know what? The church prayed for him. He came back and showed the church how God had healed him completely. Amen. Hallelujah. He was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And somebody said, oh, that must be because the missionary prayed for him. No, the missionary wasn't even anywhere near them. It was young converts who God had empowered to do his work. Church, what am I saying? What we need is laborers. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to close with this. Luke chapter 9, the Lord, you know, that scripture that we just read would have been enough for the Lord to have shown us why he's be able to do the things that he's doing, in particular in South Sudan. But the Lord brought this to our attention, and this just confirmed for us and made it abundantly clear what's happening. In Luke chapter 9, Luke records what Matthew just recorded. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. Everybody say, gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's what Luke recorded. Amen. Hallelujah. He sent them to do what he was doing. Amen. Chapter 10, however, records something that Matthew did not record. And this is what the Lord really used to confirm to us what he's been doing. In chapter 10, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now notice what happens here. Verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, he's talking to the 70, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. When I read that, I had to go back and check to see if Luke was simply reiterating what Matthew had said. And then I realized it was a completely different situation. Completely different set of people. This was not the 12. This was 70 disciples who were followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. But he told them the same thing that he told the 12. Used the very same words. The harvest is still great, but the laborers are few. Praise God. Then he says this. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, here Jesus gives the same prayer request to a completely different set of people. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I've seen this happen, where somebody will in church give the same prayer request over and over. I've seen that several times, but what's that person trying to get across? That person is letting you know, I'm not just asking God to do something here. I really need for this to be done. Saints of God Church, could it be that God is trying to get across a message to us and said, this needs to happen. There is a great harvest, but the laborers are few. Hallelujah. I want you to think about that a little bit. Praise God. Because if this is true in your area, something needs to happen. Praise God. What God is saying, there is. Church, don't pray for a harvest. The harvest is there. And it's a great harvest. What you do need to pray about is the laborers. Because that is the key to reaching the harvest. Praise God. Then we read, and I'm going to close here, verse 3. It says, he told them, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And I remember two things just jumped out at me. Well, in particular, my wife was the one who brought this to my attention. When I was speaking about this one day, and she said to me, Patrick, did you notice in verse 3 what the Lord said? He said, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. I said, yes. She said, notice that he did not say, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. And I looked again at it and I say, I figured the reason why she saw that is because of what we've been experiencing in South Sudan. Because saints of God, God is not using mature saints to do what he's doing. He's using young babes, young converts. Hallelujah. They're planting churches. They're pastoring churches and plant. Because what we tell them, one church is not enough to reach a community. We tell them we need churches. If we're going to reach this nation with the gospel, which is that's the task that God has called us, we need churches. Let me tell you, one large church is not even enough to reach. If God gives you what he wants to give you, as far as the harvest is concerned, you will never be able to build an assembly big enough to house what God wants to give you. You're going to need several churches. Amen? And so we tell them that. Hallelujah. And saints of God, they take God at his word. Hallelujah. You know what we say to them? This is our scripture that we use to kind of commission them. Jesus said in Acts 1 and verse 8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive and you shall be. You see, we tell people you shall receive power to live above sin and all that kind of, that's true. And you will speak with new tongues and all that. But do you understand what Jesus was telling the disciples here? put it in the right context. He was telling them, I'm going to give you power to do work. I'm going to give you power to enable you to labor. You're going to be witnesses. And that's what we tell them. And guess what? They do that. Praise God. And saints of God, that's why we have seen literally an explosion of people coming into the kingdom. Because no, it's not just myself and my wife. We've left East Africa since December 2018. Since we've been here, the church has been growing. Hallelujah. Why is that happening? It's because it's not dependent on us. It's dependent upon God working through his people. Hallelujah. We have already added over 20 churches since we've been here in 6 months. Praise God. Hallelujah. All I do is try my best to try and coordinate some things and let them keep me updated. But let me tell you what happened. By the time we get back to Africa, I'm not looking at losing anything. I'm looking at gaining a lot because God is using his people. Hallelujah. And when my wife brought that to my attention, you know what? Sheep among wolves is a dangerous situation because wolves are predators to sheep. Amen. Hallelujah. But you put lambs among wolves, that's a precarious situation. That's young sheep. But you know what God is showing us? That's exactly what he's doing. And what is he saying? It's not about your ability. It's not what you think you can do. It's about Jesus Christ working through his people. He that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. You'll notice something in this particular passage. When God said he talked about the 70, he didn't name one of the people like he did in the former passage in Matthew, when he named the 12. You know what God is telling us? Because that's not really what this is all about. It's not who. Praise God. It's not about personalities. It's about Jesus Christ working through his people. Hallelujah. And getting them involved in laboring in the kingdom. That's how. Let me tell you what happened. I can tell you this for sure. I'm absolutely certain. Don't know the situation. But your pastor and his wife, they were called to this area to labor in the field. But can I inform you, saints of God? You are just as much called to help them to reap the harvest. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. God is looking for not just followers, but laborers to bring in this harvest in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I thank God for his word. Praise the Lord. We are all called. Amen. We all have a job to do. Praise the Lord. Too many people in our day and age want the pastor to do this, do that, do everything. I like what he said. You're just as much called. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand here tonight. Amen. And greet one another, folks, and look over all their table over here. Amen. And let's be a blessing to each one. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.